Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Nats play at 6:40 tonight. We're done at 6:10. What's the line from the Titanic to making it count? Been a lot of Titanic references.
We've done that a lot, yeah.
6:10. That's when we are keeping you company till Ben Standing's in, 6 o'clock. I want to ask him about Taylor Heinicke at some point this week. We should probably track him down to do that at some point. 5 at 5 coming your way in 55 minutes. We'll cover Kevin Kiermaier and the Blue Jays. Did he do anything wrong? That's the question. He slid across home plate. He picks up this little piece of paper that fell out of the catcher's equipment, gear. Turns out it's all the scouting reports for how the Blue Jays are going to pitch to the Rays hitters. The Blue Jays are so angry at him. He's saying, I did nothing wrong. Who's right? We'll get into that in our 5 at 5 on Grant and Danny. Plus the latest from Ashburn, Washington, getting ready for Buffalo. We got an Antonio Gibson update, Danny. That's not great.
Oh, no.
So let's get to it. Our Beltway Blitz. Get it popping right now. We'll start with Danny Noakes. You hear him around the fan occasionally. Danny, for a long time, has covered the Virginia Tech Hokies. And Danny, I want to start with the fact that they seem to be due for one of these games like every single September. I start to think, oh, man, they figured it out. They're getting things going under Fuentes. And next thing you know, they lose a game that they got to win. And it was 27-21 against West Virginia this weekend. And it really wasn't that close, was it?
Well, you're definitely not wrong about the fact that Virginia Tech certainly seems due for one of these games every single year. And Hokies fans everywhere would definitely agree with you on that. Here's where I would say things were a little bit different on Saturday. Virginia Tech easily could have been boat raced in this game. And for the first half, they were. But the tide of this game completely turned in the second half. And West Virginia did make an unbelievable mistake there when their quarterback threw an interception with just a couple of minutes to go inside their own 20-yard line. But I give the Hokies players credits for staying in this game in a hostile environment and for coming back and putting themselves in a position to win the game. The debacle, though, was that first and goal from the 3-yard line with over 2 minutes to go, and they can't punch it in. And that falls on the coaching staff, if you ask me. Justin Fuente and offensive coordinator Brad Cornelson are taking some deserved heat this week.
So, Danny, I'd looked ahead, and that's obviously so stupid in sports, but I'd said, okay, that October 9th game with Notre Dame, that's the one, right? That's kind of the make or break that'll just sort of decide what kind of season they end up having. Of course, I overlooked West Virginia, which is, you know, kind of my own issue there. But it's still a chance for a really good year for Virginia Tech, right? It just as we're kind of talking about this, what do they need to be better at? And I just want to talk about Braxton Burmeister. I really like that kid.
Yeah, Burmeister is good, and he's a guy that came in this year after the exit of Hendon Hooker and Quincy Patterson, both guys that were in line to start at quarterback had either one of them stayed put. I like Burmeister, and I think he has a good grasp of Justin Fuente's offense. A lot of people think he's limited in getting the ball downfield, but for the most part, he makes pretty good decisions, and he's got enough weapons around him to make plays. And you're right, the biggest game on their schedule left is number 12, Notre Dame. It's a big one, but it's not an ACC game. Ah, that's the key, right? Mm. Notre Dame had that one-off year where they were a part of the ACC, and while, yes, it will be a big matchup as the Fighting Irish coming to Blacksburg would always be a big matchup, but Virginia Tech winning the Coastal and having a chance to go play for the ACC championship, even if they lose to Notre Dame, will still be on the table as well. I don't understand why they dropped out of the top 25 after this close loss to West Virginia this week with North Carolina staying in. That was a bit confusing. But the two-week stretch to end the season against Miami and UVA, both on the road, actually worries me more than anything left they've got on their schedule.
Danny Noakes, you can hear him here on The Fan on the weekends. I'm curious about Justin Fuente's footing here. So I loved the hire. I'll say that. I was team for a couple years, with all due respect to Beamer Ball. It's time. I wanted someone who operated the spread through the football. I thought it was the perfect hire. They go 10-4 in that first season. They haven't won 10 games since. I mean, you go through the ledger now, like the Belk Bowl, the Military Bowl, last couple times they played in bowl games, it was sub-500 in 2020. How do people feel about Fuente right now?
Well, certainly most Virginia Tech fans are not happy with him, and nor have they been for the last couple of years. Grant, honestly, I'd say his seat would be hotter if it weren't for the position that the Virginia Tech Athletic Department were in with his contract. It would be quite a pricey buyout if they were to let him go. If this season did not end in a positive way, still very possible that that could happen, and they could swallow their pride and fire him and kind of eat all that money, but they don't want to do that. They have been quite up and down, though, over his tenure. There's no doubt about it. And Danny also just referenced that first season in 2016, as did you, Grant, where they actually did win 10 games under Justin Fuente. A lot of Frank Beamer's players, though, but it also started out with an early season loss to Tennessee, a game Virginia Tech had a 14-0 lead in, and they also managed to stumble a couple of more times, but on their way to winning the ACC Coastal and actually playing Clemson to within a touchdown in the championship game. So all of that to say, there's still a chance that they could play for an ACC championship when the season is over, but they've got a lot to clean up, and I think it starts with the offensive play calling.
Danny, thank you as always, buddy. Be well.
You too.
Let's talk about the Washington Nationals, please. Our buddy Matt Weirich will do that very thing. He covers those Washington Nationals, so it's a good thing we're having him on to talk about the Nationals. Matt, listen, small samples are never kind when we're talking about baseball, all right? But I think this Josh Rogers thing might be a thing. I know he doesn't throw 102 like you're supposed to now, but he reminds me a little bit of Kenny Rogers, not the country guy, but the dude that used to pitch that had the pine tar all over himself. But he throws strikes, he works ahead, he gets outs. I think that guy might have a chance.
Yeah, he certainly works effectively, and that's something that can keep you in the majors in the later end of your career. And with Rogers trying being a guy who's a little bit on the older side for somebody with such little major league experience, that could be his end. And he's not going to rack up a ton of strikeouts, but as we saw, he can pitch deep into games, pitch effectively, and this stuff plays. You know, he had a couple of strikeouts there. He has that moxie, too, that gets the players behind him amped up. So he's exciting to watch, and I think the Nationals are really intrigued by what they've seen from him so far.
A 2.16 ERA in his four starts, 25 strikeouts in his, 25 innings and just the 16 strikeouts, but he's missed bats. I like the moxie last night. Jazz Chisholm celebrated as he scored a game-winning run a couple days ago, and apparently in the dugout, Rogers was watching as he did this like Eurostep basketball dance celebration at home plate, and he told Eric Fetty if he struck him out tomorrow, meaning last night, he was going to do that on the mound, and he did it. I thought for a guy who's 27 and pitched in the big leagues for like 50 innings, that was pretty big stones to do that. I was impressed by that.
Yeah, as Davey Martinez put it, he's a bit of a different breed, but you know, everybody loved it. Jazz Chisholm tweeted at Josh Rogers saying that he might have to drop the routine now that he's been showed up. And apparently David Martinez saw some of the Marlins players in the opposing dugout watching the tablet and just laughing at seeing the replay. So I think it was all in good fun. You know, nobody, you know, walked away angry about it. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff you love to see from the younger players, even if Rogers might not be on that side.
Well, speaking of younger players here, Matt, Kyber Ruiz, everywhere he's been, and Mike Rizzo's talked about this, they like to give him a little extra time to settle in. It usually takes a few weeks, and it seems to have taken a few weeks. He's now ripping the cover off the ball. I think he had, I think he's up to almost 280 in terms of his batting average here with the Nationals and starting to drive the ball around a little bit. Just certainly looks the part. I'd love for your reaction, though, to him getting ticked off and not getting a call, smacking his glove, exchange with an umpire. Just give me your thoughts there, general progress of Ruiz.
Yeah, Ruiz, first of all, just at the plate, you know, 462 over his last seven games. I think the big thing for him was just make sure that he was getting the balls to the back of the ball. You know, you aren't seeing very many strikeouts out of him, and that's something you're encouraged to see as a contact hitter. As for the incident, you know, it was pretty disrespectful by the umpire to stand him up like that. Now, this is a 23-year-old catcher still breaking in the major leagues. Why do you need to make yourself, you know, the center of attention? You know, just stay back there. Let the kid fly. You know, you can exchange words in between innings. You don't have to do it when the cameras are right in front of you.
Juan Soto's second half. We've talked a little bit about the on-base percentage. .462 leads everybody in the big leagues. He's a couple good games away from getting to 1,000 with his OPS. 128 walks, though. I mean, he's reaching levels in terms of walks that we really haven't seen proportionally in years. You got to go back to Barry Bonds when he's breaking home run records. What can we say about the free passes this guy's drawing, the patience he's exuding, and the ability still, when he gets that one or two opportunities a game like he did last night, to get a couple of hits, including a double?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that Soto is still in the thick of the NL batting title race when he's had so few at-bats. You know, the walk doesn't count towards that batting average. So the fact that he's still second in the National League in batting average right now is pretty incredible. He's making a lot with those few opportunities when he gets the ball in the zone. But, you know, he's the guy who's not going to chase. You know, we saw in the All-Star game, and he drew two walks. You know, he takes pride in them. You know, he's not afraid to pimp them a little bit, too. So, you know, he's going to let the pitchers pitch around him and hand the at-bat over to Josh Bell and let him do some damage. And he's certainly been doing it in the second half. So I think Soto's been able to really settle in and have the confidence that Bell's going to be able to pick him up when he does get on base. But, you know, Soto does lead the National League in caught stealing this year, which is kind of showing he's getting a little bit greedy on the base paths. But overall, him getting to first base, certainly one of the most effective players in all of baseball.
Matt, thank you, buddy. Be well.
Yeah, you too, guys.
All right, there he goes. I'd like to talk about the Washington football team, please. Bring our buddy Darren Haynes, General USA 9, and talk about the Washington football team. Darren, we're through week two. Washington beat a team that I don't know if they're particularly good or not. It was certainly exciting. My simple question is this. Is the Washington football team good?
Ooh, that is a great question. I hope they're good, but as of right now, I mean, let's just say they're as good as their record. 500, they're so-so. I think this week now will be that ultimate test, because we really didn't know necessarily in regards to the Chargers. We knew they were a good team. Then we saw what Dallas did. And then you have a Giants team, which really was just a bad team. And the whole game was pretty much bad that Washington won. But this Bills team, man, this is going to be the tester on how good this Washington football team really is, or in your case, how bad they really are. So I'm hoping they're good, but we'll really find that answer on Sunday.
Antonio Gibson is apparently banged up, limited with some type of shoulder injury, which is what he was dealing with in week one as well. And I was seeing, you know, these Twitter doctors mean nothing to me, but there was a reference by someone who deals with shoulders a lot that says if a shoulder lingers for a couple weeks, it might be something with the AC joint. I mean, are we worried yet about the fact that he keeps showing up on the injury report? Remember, injuries were a problem for him last year, too.
I don't think we should be worried. I mean, obviously he was on the injury report last week, and he still showed up to play. Listen, like I mention all the time, I never played in the NFL, but I had that type of injury in regards to the joint. You can still play with it. I think it's just a normal like protocol where you have to put a guy in that particular list and make sure he's healthy and don't make sure he doesn't get even more hurt throughout this during the week, so he's ready to go on Sunday. But I wouldn't be worried at all. Antonio Gibson's a guy that the Washington football team needs to play, and if it means holding him out and having just a light practice throughout the week so he's good to go on Sunday, that's what the Washington football team will do.
Darren, who do they need more from?
The defense. I think one of the things is, you know, they had the high expectations coming into this season, and, you know, obviously what they did last year in regards to one of the best defenses in the NFL, and they have not lived up to those expectations. I think you guys already know in regards to just like what they did. I think they're like 25th in yards allowed and somewhere midway in the pack of all the other NFL teams in points per game. Like, that wasn't the case. The way the Buffalo Bills defense is pretty much everything the Washington football team wants to be in regards to, I think they're like second in yards allowed, like sacks. So this Washington defense needs to live up to those expectations. And Chase Young said today he holds his team high up to those expectations. He doesn't listen to the outside noise, but he knows that this team needs to make those particular corrections and play better.
Speaking of Chase talking today, he mentioned kind of how quiet he's been. I mean, he's made some nice plays, but still looking for the first sack. There's so much expected and talked about, and he's on every commercial with Under Armour and all those things. I mean, did that come up at all in his press conference?
Not in regards to the commercials, but in regards to just what he's trying to do in the particular game. And I think what we're realizing is Chase Young had a great rookie year. And after you have that rookie year, now everybody has tape and film on you, and they can study your moves and your weaknesses. And the thing that I believe Chase needs to do is now he needs to amplify his skill set in regards to trying different things so he's not so predictable. Now, I'm not Chase Young. Chase Young's an NFL guy. But when you watch him, you see him doing kind of the same things all the time. You kind of want him to take that next step to the next level to still work on other things that he can do on the defensive side that will make these offensive tackles caught off guard and when they delivers like a different type of move than he's used to always doing.
Will they beat Buffalo?
I want to say no, man. As much as I want to say yes, I say no. I think obviously I've just mentioned in regards to the Bills defense, it's gonna be a tough day for Taylor Heinicke, despite how well he's been playing and for that entire offense. And then for Josh Allen on their side, they haven't been necessarily playing the best offense, but they're due for a big game, and of course they're home as well. So I don't see things working in regards to the Washington football team's favor. I just hope I'm wrong.
Same.
I'm not knocking on wood.
Yeah, we all are. Darren, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate
you, pal. Darren Haynes, Channel 9 here in town each and every evening. Next on Grant and Danny, let's unveil this new Wednesday segment on the show. We'll be doing this throughout the football season. It was supposed to be the Fitzpruval rating. Now it's going to be QB approval rating. Do you approve or disapprove of the job being done? Do you approve or disapprove of the job being done by the quarterback on the Washington football team? Right now, that's Taylor Heinicke. 800-636-1067. My guess is the approval rating should be really high right now.
It's going to be pretty high.
And we'll monitor it. We'll track it all year long like they do in politics. We're looking for your approval rating. So you guys are going to answer this for us on the phones next. 800-636-1067. Do you approve or disapprove of the job of the Washington football team quarterback in office right now, Taylor Heinicke?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it's time. We're in D.C., right? We know a thing or two about an approval rating. So here's how this works. Every week, midweek, we're going to do a QB approval rating. 800-636-1067. You call us up. Do you want to base it on the last week in office?
Yes.
Okay. So the current quarterback in office is Taylor Heinicke. Now, when we originally set out to do this segment, this was called the Fitzpruval rating. It would be weird to give Taylor Heinicke a Fitzpruval rating. It'll be even weirder in a couple of weeks when Kyle Allen is playing, if that happens. Hopefully it doesn't. But if that happens and we're doing the Fitzpruval or the Heinicke, so we just didn't want to name it after anybody. We said, you know what? We've seen this act before. Mark Sanchez could be playing in week 18. let's just call it the QB approval rating, and we don't have to do any imaging anymore. We've got our bases covered. So that's what we're going to call it. I think I want to add a secondary angle here, Danny, where rather than just the binary of someone calling up and saying, I approve of Taylor Heinicke, because on a week like this, you should approve of him. We could go 1 to 10 grade on how you feel about him right now, maybe how you feel about his performance he's coming off of, how you feel about him going into the Bills game, just your feel on him 1 to 10.
I like it. Right at the top of my Twitter feed right now is quite literally a presidential approval rating. I didn't ask for it, but that tells me we're on to something. We are doing the right thing. Let's get here with the quarterbacks. I, of course, approve of the job that Taylor Heinicke is doing. And you're going to post a poll, aren't you? At Grant H. Paulson, you'll do your polling?
I can do that. Would you like it just to say approve or disapprove?
To keep it scientific, because this is a very scientific survey that we're doing right here, right? There'll be a plus or minus. There'll be a margin of error. The Quinnipiac poll, we hope to replace that ultimately. Here's the Grant and Danny QB approval rating. How do I feel number-wise? I'm a 6. I'm at a 6 for Taylor Heinicke. I think, A, a little bit of regression's coming. B, this is his first road game ever with the Washington football team. C, I think Buffalo's good. And D, there's still, even though it's fun, this still isn't that elite thing that I'm hunting. The dream that I have of an actual quarterback that's drafted here, that plays here for more than a decade, is a franchise guy, this utopian society where Washington wins a lot of games and everyone thanks God we have a great quarterback all the time, it's still not that. This is fun for now. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying
if
the dinner.
I may.
Yeah, I'm out and having a nice time. But I know this isn't what I want to do the rest of my life.
I get that. But if I may,
yep.
When you're answering an approval rating for a president,
mm-hmm.
you're not thinking about like what you want 4 years from now or 8 years from now or 12 years
totally
from now.
Totally fair.
You're just saying this moment right now with the things that are popping up in the country, how do I think they're handling A or B or C? I understand that it seems like, and this is not a knock on you, but this is just what it is.
No, this is true. It's true.
You seem to be incapable of like looking at the current situation without viewing the from 30,000 feet up, the airplane view of this map.
100% correct.
For the sake of this conversation, should we include that part of it, or is this just a...
No, I was giving him more background. I went A through C.
He decided to send troops here. You know, like, what do we think of that?
Yeah, A through C are about right now this minute.
Gotcha.
I think a regression's coming. I think Buffalo's good, first road game. But I had a lot of fun this past weekend. My other thing that I just mentioned, because it's you and I talking on the radio, I added that extra bit for color.
So approve and disapprove is what the poll you want?
Nailed it.
All right, I'm tweeting it right now, at Grant H. Paulson.
I'm going to vote the hell out of that.
So this is what I said. By the way, I think he could be close to 100% approval this week.
He is right now with one vote. You know who voted? This guy right here.
It's time for a Grant and Danny QB approval rating. We want to know about how you feel. I think I worded this badly because I was typing it as I was doing the radio show. Here's what I said. We want to know about how you feel about his time in office so far. So there's a lot of abouts. It's poorly worded.
About.
So if people aren't listening to the show, they're going to think I'm dumb. They already thought I was dumb, probably. But if you are listening to the show, go vote at Grant H. Paulson and give me a little bit of leeway on the terribly worded tweet, if you would. Approve or disapprove, it's a binary vote. I obviously approve of Taylor Heinicke. I have a much higher grade, though. I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10 right now.
Oh, look at you.
He's coming off of a terrific performance. There were a couple plays here and there, a throw here or there, he missed, something I would have done differently. I hated the interception. But by and large, to come off the bench against the Chargers, look like he did, improve the offensive front, the protection right away, get out of some things that didn't look good, check to a run that went for a touchdown this week, he looks comfortable. So I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10 based on what I've seen. Now, how do I feel about him against the Bills? Not nearly as good. I think next week the number is going to be lower. I think it's going to be probably in the 6 range because I think he's going to be coming off of a poor performance or a much more mediocre performance. But right now, this second, the guy's played 4 times. He started 2 times, and I really like what I've seen.
All he's done is play well.
Approve and an 8 out of 10. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. Mo is in Forestville. Mo, we're in DC, so we're kicking it approval rating style. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy. How are you?
All right. Hey, I approve of Taylor Heinicke. I told you earlier I'm giving him a 7, but I want to jump that. I'm giving him an 8. If that sorry defense would have got the ball back for us week one, I think he would have drove down the field and scored that winning drive. He's been playing good. I got confidence in him. And like I told you, I think we're going to shock the world Sunday. I don't think he's going to have a bad game Sunday. I think he's going to ball his little tail off, and we're going to upset Buffalo. And we're going to ride this Taylor Heineke train all the way around D.C. and back around D.C. again.
Mo, nine-point yes, dogs in Buffalo. You think he balls out and they beat Buffalo on the road?
Man, look, I'm a – man, Buffalo played – look who they played last week. And I'm not sold on that. The quarterback not playing good. If Taylor Heineke get some real play out of his defense, they can be beat. They can be beat by this Washington thing.
Right.
I love our offense. I like what we doing on offense.
Since you are the conductor of this Heineke train that you say is headed to Buffalo, can I get an all aboard before you hang up?
Hey, everybody, all aboard the Heineke train, baby!
I like it.
So he's gonna walk down the little path, the hallway.
Yeah,
it's
what do you call it? The causeway? What is it?
I
the platform?
I hesitated to not say hallway five times. I couldn't think of anything
better. Because you're talking about he's outside telling people all aboard.
No, not
or he's
that.
Inside.
Not the platform. I'm saying when you're on the train, the thing about riding a train is you get on the train, and then like six stops later, like 2.5 hours later,
yep.
Someone come by and ask for your ticket. You ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I've been on this train for 90 minutes. What are you talking about? But what is the little between the rows of seats, that little area there where they push the beverage cart?
Yeah.
On a plane. What is
the
that?
Aisle?
Aisle! There it is.
Aisle. Yeah.
He's going to walk down the aisle, and he's going to check tickets, that guy. That was a long way for
on
that.
The Heineke train.
On the Heineke train, because he said all aboard.
With that little hole puncher.
They beat Buffalo behind a strong Heineke performance. Darius, download every Hall & Oates song that there is, because it's a Double Guns Monday, buddy.
I'll send you an extensive list. On Sunday afternoon, about 4:30. If they beat Buffalo, and Heineke does Superman Heineke stuff, I'm going to take the governors off. Like there's no more training wheels. It's rocket ship time.
If they're 2-1 with a win over the Beals, the Bradley Beals.
Yep.
They went to Buffalo and they beat the Bradley.
They beat the Dollars.
They come back to the nation's capital for practice.
Are you meeting them at the airport?
You might see me out there to greet the boys. Before, and then they play the Falcons.
Yeah.
Of all teams, the Falcons?
The Falcons.
They can beat the Falcons.
The Falkland Islands they'll beat.
3-1. You in on that?
Oh, can you imagine a 3-1 team with Taylor Heineke quarterback? Entering the most difficult stretch of schedule that anyone's ever seen in the history of mankind. We'll worry about that then.
Who cares about that schedule?
No one right now.
The good guys have Taylor Heineke.
Yeah.
That's how I'll be feeling if they beat the Bills and he plays well.
Oh, my God.
Now, the Bills, it should be noted, we're acting like they're still the AFC Championship game Bills of last year. They may not be. I mean, they have been a shell of whatever that was last year so far through two games. Lost to the Steelers. They did beat the Dolphins 35-0, which can't be said like under your breath. But Josh Allen does not look good. Logan Paulson said he looks like a rookie quarterback. I don't think that's that far off. He's barely over 50% passing.
Stephon it's been
Diggs
odd to watch,
hasn't
honestly.
Been that involved. If you watched that game, like a lot of people tweeted me and go, does he know they won 35-0? My response is, did you see the game?
Yeah, it ain't right. Something is not right with that offensive operation.
Let's go to Christopher in D.C. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon, Mr. Paulson. Good afternoon, Mr. Rouye.
How you do, sir?
Right now, Danny Rouye is the clubhouse leader to me. I was a 7, but after watching Kurt Warner's breakdown, Hall of Fame Kurt Warner's breakdown of Taylor Heineke, given to me by my boy Jay Young, 06, I'm dropping down. I'm barely a 6. And I'm hoping that because Taylor Heineke left a lot of meat on the Thanksgiving table. If you see this breakdown, it's really kind of glaring that some of the things that he's missed.
He's had first team reps for a week. This is not a problem, but you're evaluating him the same way you'd evaluate Aaron Rodgers if they traded for him.
I know I'm evaluating a 4-year NFL veteran quarterback missing some things. I'm not saying he was bad, but I'm not saying he was great. I'm saying he was pedestrian. If 5 is average, he was a 6. He is a 6. So I'm with Danny Rouye. He is, I would like for him to be better. But he's what he is. He's broth. He's a Ritz cracker. He's okay, but he's not, you don't run to the store and say, hey, let me get these because I have a hankering. He's okay. And that's what he played. He played okay. I hope he plays okay against Buffalo and that we can get a nice ground game. But am I betting the farm? I'm not there yet.
I appreciate you. I think it's a good call.
Man.
I think that his take on Heinicke as a quarterback is probably true about what he'll ultimately be, what he is. Anyone who rewatches that game and says he was okay, I think has way too high of a standard at the quarterback position in this league. I'll be very
honest.
But
it got me to thinking about the opposite end of that, which would be this. Because he's outperforming expectations, which were 0.00000001, a.k.a. out of football, college class, we know the whole deal.
Yeah.
Because it looks like an NFL starter, we're doing spin kicks.
Agreed.
If this is round one, pick one at age 28 or whatever he is, we'd be going, are we sure we got the answer? But it's a different context.
I think it, first of all, it's completely unfair, in my opinion, to grade that start out as if he just had the entire offseason and the preseason working with the ones.
Which is a great point.
He's been working with the ones for a week. That's the first thing I would say about that. And the second, and maybe more important, is if you're going to evaluate him in his first start in 3 years and here in Washington, obviously he had the last second start in the playoffs last year, but in a regular season, his first start here, in the same way you're going to evaluate, they haven't had an established starter since Alex Smith, probably pre-leg injury, or Kirk Cousins in year three as the full-time starter in like 2017. Fine, I'm not doing that. I'll do that if people
want to.
Well, we
get a big enough sample. Yeah, that's fair.
In 10 weeks, if people are trying to tell me Taylor Heinicke should be their starter in 2022, now I'm going to do that, where I go back on every throw and I'm going to say, look at Logan Thomas, wide open here, he missed him. Look at DeAndre Carter. I'm not doing that right now. The question right now, it shouldn't be, between reasonable people, he should be the quarterback in 2022. Reasonable people, smart people, shouldn't be saying that right now. The question is, can this guy play or not in the league? Like, you can eventually have that next combo.
Yeah.
We're not having that combo yet. Is he good enough to hold off Kyle Allen? Is he good enough to not get benched when he has a terrible game? So, who did he say the breakdown was? Did you hear? Was it a former quarterback or?
No, I missed it.
He said it was Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner knows the QB position. He went through the film of 20 guys, and so he evaluated Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford. Yeah, if you do it with all those same guys and you just grade them the same, I'm sure there's plenty of things he left on the field. But 34 of 46 for 336 and two touchdowns. Turnover free until the last 10 or so snaps of the game. You can't tell me it was an okay performance. That's not what okay looks like. Not in a city where, when we have had decent quarterback performances, everybody hated the quarterback. Now that's okay? Well, what are our standards here? You haven't been on a date in 20 years. Someone comes and shows up at your house wearing a dress looking like that, and you're like, she aight.
Not for me.
What? What are you talking about? You haven't had a franchise quarterback. I'm 33. In my life.
In your life.
That you weren't going year to year with on franchise tags. That was an okay game. Are you a Packers fan? Because that would make sense. You a Bucks fan? You a Patriots fan? You Colts fan? 800-636-1067 is the number. Approve or disapprove, what is your grade? You can go 1 to 10 for Heinicke so far. By the way, QB approval rating right now, 250 or so votes in at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter. Go vote. 91% approve. 9% disapprove of the job Taylor Heinicke's doing.
9% didn't read the question right.
They disapprove. Maybe they watched that Kurt Warner breakdown. 800-636-1067, G&D on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's our quarterback approval rating segment. We'll do it each week. How do you feel about the starting quarterback of the Washington football team's time in office so far? 92% climbing. Approve of Taylor Heinicke so far. 8%, not so much. 300 votes in. 800-636-1067 is the number. Mark in Landover called that number. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's happening, Grant? What's happening, Danny? Talk hey, of the day to you, gentlemen.
You too, buddy. What's up?
Well, you guys like to use movie analogies, and I told you, caught the guy that answered the phone. I got one for you. One of my favorites.
Negative waves, Moriarty. Negative waves. Always with the negative waves.
And you got to give the guy a chance, and I'm with you, Grant. It's at least a B, and we'll see what he can do this week with more reps with the first team.
What movie was that?
One of the best, buddy. And what Carol O'Connor says, "Hey, we got the ball game here." It's called Kelly's Heroes.
Old school. I knew I was familiar somewhere. I haven't seen that movie in decades.
I knew you would with another hint.
There we go.
I have no file on the movie. I appreciate you, though. You seen it?
Yeah, it's old. I mean, it's old. Probably like 1960s, early 70s. I'm sure everyone in that age bracket's probably furious with me that I don't remember it. But it's one of those ones where my dad would tell me how funny it was. And I sat down to watch it and I was like, when does the funny part happen? Because I was a kid, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't get it.
You're joning on the caller's film.
No, a little, I guess.
Good call, though. Appreciate you. You can hit us up, 800-636-1067 to talk Heinicke. I'm a little surprised that 8% are disapproving of the job he's done so far.
Who are these 8%?
What do you disapprove of? Now, I think we've kind of walked into a fun conversation here, which is, should we already be viewing him and evaluating him as the guy? Because I'm still looking at this as undrafted, Old Dominion product. Can he play in the league? Maybe a lot of people have moved past that already. I'm on the verge of doing so, but there was a caller who basically said, he missed too many plays for me. It was just an okay game. I don't know how you can watch this guy with his little experience, play that game and just feel like it was okay.
Yeah, because if you're doing 28-year-old quarterback in the NFL, you can play that game, but this is not typical.
But even if Rodgers played that game, is anyone after the game going, I don't know. I think Rodgers was just fine. Like, I think that was a well quarterbacked game.
Yeah. I mean, you could point to
300 plus yards, couple touchdowns.
You could say missed a couple things. The turnover was really bad. Okay,
but every quarterback does that every week.
I know. I'm saying. I'm trying to think of that from someone's perspective. Again, I'm in the approval category. I'm amazed.
Well,
I'm overjoyed.
My question.
Yeah.
Do you think that I feel like we have just decided now we're chasing ghosts with quarterback performance. We want 100% execution. We want every quarterback to hit every play. And Kurt Warner can go through every person's performance, and he'll say he missed this, 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 and this. And so there's eight plays at the end of the game, let's say. Kurt Warner's a Hall of Famer. He'd have those eight plays in every game, too. Like, we're chasing a ghost when we want perfection at an imperfect position. People do this with general managers. They'll say, and I'm just picking a name, Mike Rizzo or Brian McClellan, pick your favorite. But Rizzo missed on this. You know, there's a terrible draft pick or terrible trade. You're not supposed to bat 1,000. Nobody ever has. We forget that sometimes. With quarterbacks, to me, it's almost like a binary. Did you play well enough or not in the game? We have somewhere along the line with access to film and the ability now with Game Pass to watch all 22 as fans, whether we're skilled and schooled enough to know exactly what we're watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every throw is parsed up. Every drive is a referendum. Every pass, oh, this guy's not any good. He just missed this guy wide open. That stuff's happened since the beginning of time. I just think sometimes we're at that position, it's not perfect. You're trying to bat 875. But we don't grade it that way. Like, the whole point with Warner is he missed some plays. Welcome to quarterbacking. See what I'm saying at all?
I see exactly what you're saying. What I always try to do is, what are your contemporaries doing? So
yeah.
If a guy is good compared to what it would have been 15 years ago, like, again, I still believe Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback that ever lived. His numbers don't hold up. They simply don't hold up. But it's a different era of football. What he was doing relative to his peers was exceptional. Same thing with Dan Marino. What he threw for 5,000 yards when no one threw for 4,000. Like, that kind of stuff I look at. So I'm always trying to contextualize it as best we possibly can. Have the expectations of that position gone up? You're 100% right. And your point as to why, I think, is 100% astute. I think it's very smart because we have this access, this information we never have, the angles we never have, people that are smart writing about this. You used to have to hunt for information. It was basically Don Banks' snap judgments, and like, you get like a third of a paragraph about your team's game, and that was the only info until the paper came out the next day. You didn't have that kind of information. You didn't have somebody telling you, well, this cover too high look, but the safety rotated, but he looked him off with his eyes. Now you got nothing but 24/7 programming dedicated to that. So you're right. We know more, and our critiques have gotten a little bit out of whack because of that and the instantaneous nature of it. I do think that's 100% correct. I guess if you're – there are two paths here for when it comes to Heineke specifically. Path one is, are we judging him like we judge every other NFL quarterback? And I think you've made a great case as to why we probably shouldn't at this point. Path two –
and we should eventually.
Yes, eventually.
Maybe that's in a month. Maybe that's in 3 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah.
We got to get there. I'm just not quite ready to be there yet.
Yeah, right now I'm going, hey, for the level of experience, not age, not how many years he's away from ODU, because he played at ODU in 2014, by the way.
But to my point on like the grading of quarterbacks,
yeah,
because of his background, he's not given the luxury of those plays. We're going to hear in the 5 at 5 coming up at the top of the hour, Scott Turner addressing Heineke's past. And he makes a comment that people will hear about. He could play 5 great games. He could play 1 bad game.
It's a great quote.
And when he has the 1 bad game, everyone's going to say, see, this guy, man, he's an undrafted player for a reason. His point is, you don't get any wiggle room. Whereas Rodgers had that horrendous performance in week 1 with the Packers at a dependent position where everything around him crumbled and the walls caved in. You had a lot of stupid people saying stupid things about how he doesn't care anymore. He's trying to bring the Packers down from the inside. But by and large, when he has a game like that in a normal, non-I hate the Packers 2021 last dance era, it's just that he had a bad game. If you're Taylor Heineke, you're not allowed to have that.
Right, you can't do it.
And if he misses, like if Rodgers played the exact same game and missed those same throws, I just don't think it would be viewed the same way. And people could say, well, it shouldn't. One of those guys is a champion and has put the deposits in the bank. and that's fine. But if we're just talking about one game and how you'd grade one game, they should get the exact same grade in that one game.
Hmm.
Now, you could tell me it doesn't matter that Rodgers played that game poorly if it's poor because he's going to bounce back because we've got a track record to say that. Fine, you're probably right. But I don't think Kurt Warner will watch Aaron Rodgers have that game and Taylor Heinicke have that game and come out with the same result. Because it's always going to be held against Heinicke what he isn't because of how he got here. Scott Turner talks about that. We'll hear that in the 5 at 5. Coming up on G&D in just a few. You're listening to The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.